I speak to you in the name of the risen Christ. Amen. Amen. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
I always sneak that in when I don't get to celebrate on Easter. So every Lent, one of the disciplines that I always put on my Lent list is to plan my funeral. And yet, here we are at another Easter, and that task remains unfinished. Now, ironically, I think it's gonna be a lot of fun when I do it. You thought my wedding was fun? Wait till you see the funeral. I'm planning an annotated bulletin that explains every single choice. Now, this may seem like an odd Lenten practice, but I see it as a tremendous gift. It is a way to leave my loved ones with clarity, at peace, and peace when they will clearly be bereft, and yet I will have left all of the final details lovingly prepared. Now, at this point, you might be wondering if you wandered into the wrong service. This is supposed to be Easter, joyful, triumphant, bursting with his risens and alleluias, and yes, you are in the right place. But we can't get to Easter without acknowledging that Jesus died on Good Friday. There is no miracle of the resurrection this morning without death. Even the resurrection account we heard today, if you were paying attention, it's not really so filled with Easter joy. The women who come to the tomb are perplexed, and then they leave filled with terror. They run and tell the other disciples what they have seen, and shockingly, the disciples aren't sure that they believe the women. And finally, Peter goes on back and he finds the empty tomb and then returns, pondering what he had seen. Now, our translation punches that up to amazed, but really it's more a wondering if you want the real truth. As the author of a children's Bible called The Book of Belonging says, even when you know the end of the story, it doesn't make the messy middle go away. And as Christians, we have a messy middle that gets us to this glorious day where we can celebrate the true end of Jesus' story. We can celebrate the resurrection, which is what we celebrate at every single funeral. So, it's why I think about it at this time of year. We celebrate this day the message given in Jesus' death and resurrection. And again, quoting from the Book of Belonging, Jesus from the cross has these words to us. I love you, I love you, I love you. There is nothing you can do that isn't forgiven. Nothing that could make me stop longing, loving you, stop belonging with you, stop delighting in you. Not the worst in human hearts, not the heights of human suffering. There is nowhere you can go where God won't be with you. And Luke's gospel today, it's not as glorious because we're only getting the very beginning of the end of the messy middle. The joy and the glory and the hope that we are all yearning for at this resurrection moment will flourish when the disciples see Jesus in the flesh among them. And the more the disciples live into Jesus' teaching, the more they will remember God's love and God's delight and God's promise to care for each and every one of them. In the same manner, the more you and I, the more we grow into our discipleship, the more we live into Jesus' teaching, we also, on our hardest days, will more readily remember the promise that the resurrection story gives us. We easily remember the Easter joy of today, the wonderful music, the spectacular flowers, the children dressed in cute outfits, Easter egg hunts, to say nothing of our rockin' photo booth over in the parish hall. Don't miss it. But in this moment, in this Easter moment, though, I deeply want for all of us, I deeply want each of us to have the Easter faith embedded in our hearts. Today we rejoice together, but actually first we have to find where Jesus is for us. Where do we find Jesus when we have hardships and fears and even death? How is it that we find Jesus's presence in our life? The first place that we find Jesus is when we come to communion. We celebrate communion every week in the Episcopal Church. And we do that because Jesus at the Last Supper told us to remember. Communion is our way to remember the Jesus story. And in the act of blessing bread and wine and sharing it with one another, we recall Jesus' gift to us. Jesus' gift of love to each and every one of us. Perhaps you've been to Betalino Kitchen in Palos Verdes. They have a phrase in their main dining room in bold letters in the restaurant, and I love it every time I go in and I think, well, there's a gospel message. It says, we don't come to the table to eat. We come to the table to eat together. Together. And that is perhaps the most important act of communion. We all share the same table. The table that Jesus set for us. And we share that meal together. Each of us in our brokenness being made whole in that moment that we receive the bread and the wine. At communion, we are reminded that each of us has a place. Each of us belongs. Each of us is equally accepted by God. This is my prayer for you on this Easter day, that you hold this truth of Jesus's acceptance in your heart. The second place where we meet Jesus is when we go out of these doors, when we have been nourished and strengthened and we've remembered Christ through communion, we are to go out and be the heart and the hands of Jesus in the wide world. Our baptismal covenant, which we will renew in a few minutes, reminds us that we are to seek and to serve Christ in all people. We are to be disciples who imitate Jesus' love and care for all. We are, you and I, we are to care for the sick. We are to find shelter for the unhoused. We are to give clean laundry to those who can afford it. And yes, we are to feed those who are hungry, for that is what Jesus did. Now, you can come back and join us next Saturday for the Pan Can Walk, where we fight cancer. Or you can join us in May as we prepare meals to fight against hunger. Or find us on the last Wednesday of the month at the laundromat as we give the gift of clean laundry to those who need it. This is my Easter prayer for you, that you commit to such regular encounters with Jesus. We also meet Jesus in our study of Scripture, which we as a congregation did this past Lent, studying the book of Ephesians, which reminds us of the importance of being a loving community. It reminds us of the importance of doing the hard work of extending grace to one another as we are one body when together we follow Jesus' teachings. We will continue our group scripture study with the book of Acts starting in May. And this is my Easter prayer for you, that together we learn the ways of Jesus so we might live the way of Jesus more fully in our lives. Every time we gather at this table, every time we care for others, every time we extend grace, even when it is hard, we have the possibility to encounter Jesus as we open our hearts and our minds to genuinely care for one another. Which brings us back to messy middles. Following Jesus is not a cakewalk. It is not rainbows and unicorns. It is not always easy. Our faith will be tested. There are days when hope may seem lost. There are definitely days when we don't get along so well with one another, now do we? We may feel as if we have been abandoned. We may feel as if our faith is not enough to sustain us through the struggles in our daily life. And I tell you that when you get into that messy middle, turn to God, for God is there. Turn to your church, for we are here. Turn to your clergy, for we are here. And we will pray with you, just as Jesus taught his disciples to pray for one another. And just as has happened in our risen Lord's name, since he taught us how to be truly present. For ultimately, here is the Easter truth. Whether our days are full of joy or full of hardship, we return to those words of Jesus on the cross. I love you, I love you, I love you. There is nothing you can do that can't be forgiven. There is nothing that could make me stop loving you, stop belonging with you, stop delighting in you. Not the worst in human hearts, not the heights of human suffering. There's nowhere you can go where God won't be with you. And that, my friends, is God's prayer for us each and every day. Amen.